And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Michael Hara, Lions aficionado. Hello, Michael.
Hello, is that my new job?
That's your new job. Well, you got to, as everybody knows, Mike is semi-retired. I'm not retired, but he retired from the DetroitLions.com, but he's still the man who knows the Detroit Lions. But we just got to find a name for you now. What do you want us to call you?
Michael Hara.
Michael Hara. We'll just call him Michael Hara. Now, this podcast on the network has gotten so big now. It's expanded so much over the years we've been doing it, Mike, that we just can't keep it in the seams. We can't keep it locked away anymore. We just had to add to it. So from this point on, we'll be adding a new member to our team, Michael Hara. Do you know who it is?
I can tell you who I hope it is.
Our famed Lions producer and morning producer, and also one of my guys from when we used to do the Lions here and still does all the football with Michigan State. Mr. Nick Roddy is joining the program now. Hello, Nick.
Thank you. It's an honor to be included. I appreciate it.
It's an honor. And to keep the standard up as the number one podcast here on the WJR Network.
It sure is.
That's right. So we're going to keep it going. Welcome, Nick.
Thank you.
Very experienced football man yourself, and Michael Hara, very experienced football man, and of course, you know I'm me, so that's what we do. But, gentlemen, the new season has begun, and we have to talk about it. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about your impression. But first, I got to talk about coming into the game, the atmosphere. Michael, there were people lined up at 3 o'clock outside of Ford Field to get to sit around for 5 hours. It's just amazing how far this team has come to the fan base. And I just want to know, has there ever been anything like, I don't even remember this being this big after 91.
No, I don't think so. It's a little different though, you know, but I don't think it is. I don't remember anyway, anything quite like that. I mean, I could tell you right now, I would not get there at 3 o'clock and wait. I don't quite see why, you know, there's gotta be a better way to do it in my estimation, but you know what? It's a nice day out. Why not?
Yeah, I'm sure there was a little alcoholic beverages involved, Nick. We've seen some of these early morning people waiting, because we used to do the over at Eastern Market, the pre-tailgate. Yeah. There'd be people out there at 8 in the morning, and liquor was flowing.
I mean, I would stay out there, though, for the tailgate. I would stay in Eastern Market rather than going into the stadium 5 hours before kickoff. But they do have some nice specials for fans. They've got some beer discounts and hot dog discounts, but do you think it was as loud on Sunday night as it was at the end of last season in Ford Field? It didn't feel, at least watching from home, quite as loud. And maybe just because, I mean, the playoffs, the fan base was ready to explode. But I feel like it was a little quieter from the end of
last season. Nick Roddy, I'm glad you asked that question. Mike, I know you respond, and then I will respond.
Yeah, you go. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Anzalone, Alex Anzalone, who comes on Mondays, 4:30, Mitch Albom Show, 760 WJR. I asked him that question yesterday, and I asked him what he thought of. I compared the playoff game with the Rams to the game last night or Sunday night, and he said there were more boos for Stafford on the playoff game, and it was almost as loud, but not quite. But he said the booing put the first game over the top. He said there was more vitriol for Stafford that first game, the playoff game. So he said it was a little louder. It was a little louder. But. He did say, make no mistake, that was a large, riled-up crowd Sunday night.
No, this was a big crowd. I thought it was, you know, I was watching it in my office at home, and I thought it was a little less. Not quite as loud, you know. Not quite, but loud enough.
Yeah, it was loud enough. Which brings us to the game itself. I don't want to play the Rams anymore. Nick and Mike, I'm telling you right now, I don't want to see them in the playoffs. I just don't like these games now, and I don't like what they become, because it becomes a Stafford golf game now instead of a Lions-Rams game, and we don't need that. So if any way to avoid them again in the playoffs, I'm all for it.
Well, what about Baker Mayfield playing, looking for revenge?
Nobody cares about Baker Mayfield. Nobody cares about Baker Mayfield. Listen, Baker Mayfield could walk down Woodward and couldn't get on the people mover, I'm telling you. Nobody cares about him. And nobody cares about – really, in all truthfulness, the Buccaneers are like the what's a baseball team that's just a nondescript team over the years? Like the Montreal Expos used to be. They're just a nondescript – they're just a team in the league. And that, to me, that's what Tampa – I don't care if Tampa won with Brady. I don't care if they won before. They're just a nondescript franchise to me.
Well, I guess it is. Listen, since it looks like we're slow to getting off talking about the game and all that, can I just add one or ask one question here.
Go ahead.
What do you guys think of the uniforms?
The Lions uniforms?
Yep. Of course the Lions uniforms.
Roddy, this is a first here. Michael Hare, for years we've been doing this podcast, has just said he
cares nothing about uniforms.
You remember him? He cares nothing about uniforms, blah, blah, blah. And the first question out of your mouth is what you think about the uniforms.
Because I want to get it out of the way.
And then be done for the season.
Exactly.
Well, you know we're going to have this conversation again when they wear the black ones. You know we're going to have this conversation again. So just say with the regular uniforms you're talking about now, right?
Whatever they wore on.
That's their regular rotation. I think the uniforms, the white numbers are much better. I don't like the blue pants. I never did. I just like the gray pants. But if it's fine. I mean, I have no objection to them.
Yeah, they were fine. I like their older uniforms better. I might be in the minority there, but they were just kind of. Like, the numbers are almost like cartoonish.
The old ones?
The new ones, the font.
Oh, really?
The font,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I tell you one thing, the big controversy now is Stafford saying that they wore those blue uniforms, and that's why he threw the interception, because the end zone is blue, and the backdrop now is blue, and that's how he couldn't see Kirby Joseph, because they were wearing the blue uniforms. It was like camouflage. I don't know if he's going to hold to that or not, but a little subterfuge going here, Mike.
Oh, wait a minute. Did he say that or did his wife say it?
Is there a difference? No, I'm just – he alluded to it. He didn't come out and say it, but a lot of people were saying that they think that's what happened by the Lions wearing full blue uniforms in the end zones. You can't – it blends in. So we'll keep an eye on that as the future.
Well, wait till Kirby Joseph finds out. Mm. He can't see about that.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the game then.
Finally.
Let's get into the game. I think the Lions, the first nine games, I told you, and I said this last week on the podcast, Nick, you weren't here. If they win the first game, I think they can win the first nine. But the one I was worried about was this first game, and I still almost was right because they almost blew this game. And it was a game that was comfortably in hand, and I just think that the first game, you never know, and that's around the league, too. You haven't played really in a full year. The little preseason meant nothing. I just think it takes time to get back into the flow of a game. And then they played 78 plays, the defense. You know, the offense was on – Stafford and ran 78 plays. That's a lot. And like I said, Alex Anzalone, I asked you, he said, man, coming off preseason without playing to play 78 plays, he said, that's a lot. He was begging not to play overtime. He said, I don't want to do it. I'm glad we got the ball.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, Kenny. But, you know, I thought really the Lions, the way they played in the last possession of regulation time and then in the overtime, I thought they just took the gas out of the Rams. I thought they were wheezing when that game was over. They had the ball. They maintained possession up and down the field, and I thought they were by far the better team the last two possessions.
I was just waiting for them to do that a drive earlier. When you're down 20-17 and they got the ball back with 4.5 minutes left and they go pass, 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 punt, I don't know why Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell didn't come out on that drive and say, we're going to run it down your throats and we're going to score with no time on the clock and either to win the game or kick a field goal and take it to overtime. But the play calls on that drive, I just didn't understand because they had been running over him all day. And then I feel like Ben Johnson kind of does this every now and again. And in the second half, when you're trying to close out a game or you're trying to take the lead late, he just gets kind of pass heavy. And I mean, in overtime, he proved that he can change and he did really lean on David Montgomery in the offensive line. But that does kind of worry me moving forward.
He's a genius play caller, but he has lulls in his play calling. And I don't know, maybe that's just normal. That's every play caller. You know, everybody thinks that we have these great offensive coordinators that succeed every time they go on the field, but they don't. I don't have a problem with anything you call because, to me, that offense is so good, they should be able to do whatever they want to do, passing or running. But the thing I had a problem with was the interception Goff threw. Now, you know, Mike, I got to come back to this. You know, I came over to the Goff train last year reluctantly.
Right.
But for him to be this far in the league, that interception to me was kind of inexcusable. You see the momentum changing. you're almost in field goal range, and you're marching down the field, and just to take a chance on a ball like that, and you didn't need to. Those are the plays that it just irks me.
I mean, it was kind of a 50-50 ball almost.
Why are you throwing a 50-50 ball at that time of the game? You're marching down the field. Everything's in. If it's not sure, just go for the next play.
Wasn't a third down?
I thought it was second down.
Okay.
I got to go back and check. But even if it was third down, take the field goal. You're right there. Take the field goal. You're in field goal range. Why risk it? And St. Brown didn't have his best game of the year either, or best game of his career Sunday night either. Now, who's to blame for that? I don't know. But it's a lot of mouths to feed, Mike, on offense. And now you're adding a new mouth with Jameson Williams. Somebody's not getting fed.
Well, we'll see how that works. But look, that was a. You can't call that a coming out game for Jameson. It's JMO, whatever you want to call him. I thought it's time, and yeah, that was to me by far, you know, a polished performance by him. I thought, I'm not knocking him when I'm saying that, but it's opening day, and things are, you know, aren't running as smoothly as they will be, like in week 7 or week 9 or even week 6 or whatever. But he really showed another example of what's to come with him. I mean, that is a legitimate threat every time he touches the ball, even sometimes when he doesn't.
Yeah, but let's not pat him on the back. He's a year late with this. I gave him the first year because he was injured. But this is what he should have been doing last year. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen because of the suspension or whatever, and they never got on the same page. But that talent, that's the Alabama talent we're seeing here. And there's nothing's changed. It's just that he played 52 plays this time. And I'm looking at the account. He played 85% of the offensive snaps.
Well, I still, you know, he had, what, 5 catches, 121 yards, and a 52-yard catch for a touchdown. That's not exactly a bad day's work.
No. Are you, Roddy, are you surprised by that? I mean, it's always been there to me.
No, I'm not surprised, but it's going to be, what does he do moving forward? I mean, is he going to be a 1,200-yard, 1,000-yard receiver? I mean, is he going to go through a nice lull of not getting over 50 yards for 5 straight weeks? I mean, it kind of, like you said, there's a lot of mouths to feed. St. Brown is going to improve on his numbers, and so will Sam Laporta. I mean, they didn't throw the ball that well offensively. They didn't have the ball offensively.
I was
going to
say, they didn't run that many plays, right? They only ran, what was their count here, 61 plays. They only ran 61 plays. You know, and how many runs did they have on other runs?
31.
So they didn't really throw the ball a lot, Mike.
No, obviously they didn't, but I don't see anything wrong with them running the ball, especially in key situations, because they have the runners who can run, and they have the guys up front who can block it. And that's a combination. I'll put that group out there as a running group with any other team in the National Football League.
I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you see the offensive line on the Today Show on Monday? Did you see it already?
Yeah, we had it on in the studio.
Oh, did you have it on?
We didn't have the audio, but I did. It was a nice feature. I mean,
not only
it
a good offensive
long.
Line, but they got a lot of kids, man. I don't know, they were showing them and their kids and how they bonded as a group, man. Damn. No wonder they're blocking good. They got all them damn kids at home, man. There's a bunch of them running around. But that line, you could tell the cohesiveness and the by those 5 guys, the way they were just talking in. And they're adding a new guy, Zietler, from Baltimore, who, if you watch the Baltimore game against Kansas City, what was one of the missing parts of that Baltimore offense was that guard play. I don't know why they didn't sign him back, but you can see this line is a cohesive unit.
I did kind of have to hold my breath, though, when Jameson Williams went down in the game on Sunday night, because it didn't look great.
Yeah.
From when they went to break.
Did it look knee or ankle to you? I thought more knee at first.
I thought it was a knee too. Yeah. And they went to commercial break, and you're kind of holding your breath. And I mean, if he goes down,
if he
what's
goes down,
behind?
It's the same as last year. If he goes
down.
Yeah,
but you don't have Josh Reynolds.
No, but you add one of these big receivers, either Allen Robinson or the other guy from Denver.
Yeah,
you add
Tim Patrick.
Guys.
I mean, there's a reason these guys are cut. So.
No, I agree. But look. Somebody's going to get hurt over the year. Yeah, you're going to have some injuries, so it's just a matter of
I mean,
when.
Khalif Raymond played 61% of the snaps on offense. I didn't even notice he was on the field, honestly.
He only got the one end around I saw at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. He played 60. I got to look at them. Wow.
37 offensive
37
snaps.
37 snaps. Wow. Well, Mike, do you think they can feed all these mouths?
Right now.
Well, I'm just wondering, Mike, do you think all these mouths can be fed? And let's go back. See, this is what I got Michael here for, Roddy. Let's go back to the year that the Lions had 3,000-yard receivers. Scott Mitchell. It was Johnny Morton, Brett Pearman, and Herman Moore. Did everybody got fed that year, but they had Barry too, so they had a running game and receiving. Is that what we can try to do for this one?
Well, I think it's different, Kenny. Really, to think that you're just going to do exactly what Barry Sanders did.
I'm just talking about, can you distribute enough between the run and satisfy three pass receivers? Because you got to satisfy LaPorta, you got to satisfy St. Brown, and you got to satisfy, now you're going to satisfy Jameson Williams.
Satisfy LaPorta. Look, he's played 1 year in the National Football League. He's not in any position, and I'm not knocking him. Don't get me wrong.
That's what it sounds like to me.
No, I'm just answering reacting to what you said.
Sounds like you're a LaPorta hater.
No, I'm not a LaPorta hater. He's not in some position to dictate. Now he's played 1 year in the National Football League. That's the way it is.
Well, nobody's dictating, but I'm saying you saw him last year. His numbers, tight end, almost record number for catches and whatever. He's a good safety. Even he started the game that saw last Sunday in that last drive, or was the drive before the last for the field goal tie. That 15-yarder up the middle, and then he got hit in the helmet, and he got another 10 yards. Those are plays he makes, and you want to get him the ball. But is he going to catch 80 balls this year? Is Jameson going to catch 100 balls? St. Brown is going to catch 100 balls. You know that.
No. I mean, LaPorta will get his 80. Jameson Williams will, I think, get around 80 as well. I mean, I think they're more likely to get two 1,000-yard rushers than three 1,000-yard receivers.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too. You see, Nick, that's why I got you here.
And this is not playing.
Is Gibbs going to get that this year? Because I don't see Gibbs running as much as I thought this year he would run more.
It's only been one game.
No, but you got to give Montgomery his run. Gibbs, to me, is going to catch more passes than last year. But will he actually get 900 yards rushing again?
I think he will. I mean, his long was 8 yards.
You guys are like Christmas in Detroit. You guys giving out all these yards to everybody. Where is all this coming from?
They had it last year.
Wait a second. Nick, Santa Claus, we got the Scrooge here.
I'm just saying, you guys handing out yards like candy, man. Somebody's got to be on the short end of the stick.
When you only have, 58 plays they ran, everybody's going to be shortchanged. It's the way it is. You can't give the ball to people when you don't have the ball.
I understand it.
Well, then act like you understand it.
But I think you've added a new dimension to the offense.
So should we take it away?
No, I just
to give more yards to Gibbs. And
I think that guys are going to have to expect to do less this year.
I think they're okay. I mean, that locker room is pretty cohesive. I don't think they're going to be upset that they're not getting the same numbers
they
did
last year. I tell you what, if St. Brown gets three catches for 14 yards against Tampa Bay, it's not going to be all rain and rose in that locker room. I can tell you that.
If they're 2-0,
you paying a $30 million receiver and he's bringing in 14 yards.
He's still
a game.
Getting paid no matter if he has one catch or 12 catches.
But then you're going to have people in the locker room like, why are y'all paying him?
They know what he brings to the team.
All right. Look, I know human nature. You know football. I know human nature. And I don't think he's going to be satisfied with that. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm just saying, there's always going to be a mouth not fed now. And if everybody's cool with it, you can understand what's going on. But I just want to put everybody in perspective here that there's going to be some of the numbers you're going to see aren't going to look normal because somebody's got to step down for somebody else to step up.
Well, I don't think 119 catches in one season is the normal for Amon-Ra St. Brown. That was a great, that was a terrific year, 1,500 yards, and made it to the Pro Bowl as an All-Pro, as a matter of fact. So I don't think that's a normal for him. I think somewhere right around 100 catches is, but I don't think 119 is.
Okay.
He had two games last year. He had a two-catch game against New Orleans and a three-catch game against Chicago back-to-back in weeks 13 and 14. Other than that, everything's above six catches.
He'll average about six. He dropped when he fell and almost the interception when that would have been a catch, so that would have been four for him. He got targeted.
But the 13
eight times.
Yards, though, is, I mean.
No, the 13 yards is. But like I said, if he wouldn't have slipped on that one play, that would have been more than 15 yards right there. What did you think about the Rams' play against them defensively? And you think that Sean McVay kind of schemed up a good defense against them? I thought Sean McVay coached real good that game.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. He's a good coach. He's known more for his offensive strategies than he is for defense. But that's a good ball club there. Good ball club with good players. It's, you know, they're pretty good depth and they're well coached.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep, you lose Aaron Donald and you're bringing in new guys like this Jared Verse. They're going to be good. Their defense, you don't really know many of the names if you're just a casual NFL fan, but I think they're going to make the playoffs this year.
If they get healthy, are they a threat to San Francisco after what we saw against the Jets last night?
I think they are.
Really, I think when you get in the playoffs, anybody's a threat because of what can possibly happen. But I don't see them as a primary threat to San Francisco or the Lions if they meet up again.
You have to think, unfortunately, Matthew Stafford's probably going to get hurt this season at some point with something. Yeah. And so will Christian McCaffrey, and he didn't even play yesterday. So
he's hurt now.
It just depends on how long, if and when these guys get hurt, how long they're out, and can they recover from it. But I think they can threaten.
All I know is I watched a game with the Jets in San Francisco, and it is the Jets, so I'm going to temper what I'm about to say, but it looks like San Francisco is San Francisco and Detroit, to me, are a step above all the other teams.
Well, you could say the same thing about San Francisco. What did Brandon Ayuk do? And look how much they paid him. I mean, he didn't get the ball very much last night. So,
well, you got to catch the ones he gets.
He
dropped a touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah,
you got to catch the
ones. And they still rolled the Jets. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I'm a temperate because they were playing the Jets, and I think the Jets are one of the most purely coached teams. And I'm so glad Saleh didn't get the Lions job instead of Dan Campbell. Thank you, Mrs. Ford, or whoever interviewed him. Thank you very much. I think he's a bad coach.
Well, they haven't won much, have they? Everything is, did you win or did you lose?
Let me get out because, you know, I hate Green Bay. Everybody knows this podcast. I hate Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers not being in Green Bay still doesn't mitigate the hate I have for him. I saw a washed-up shell last night, and I'm so happy. Did you watch Aaron Rodgers last night?
Yes, I did. And he's the Aaron Rodgers of 4 years ago.
He's a shell of himself. Can't move. He still has a good arm, decent arm. But if that's the best we're going to see out of Aaron Rodgers, it's time to move on, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy. He can go back to that little hole in whatever country that is and do a little whatever he does and be done with it. He's complained so much. He's turned that team into the Green Bay East. And like I said, man, I don't want no parts of the guy. I'm happy. I'm happy what happened to him last night. And they beat the Jets down. And I'm happy for it.
Do you want to get into the post-game presser with the Matthew Stafford question?
We're going to get into that now because we have our own Rieger here at WJR. Dave Rieger. So Jeff Rieger, the instigator, is the one that brought the question up to Matt
Stafford. I thought it sounded like Carlos. No, was it Jeff?
Mitch said it was Carlos, but I thought it was Rieger. And Rieger, I think, even said himself it was him. You talking about the question about the golf and the Jared Goff chance?
Yeah.
That was Rieger. That was Rieger. Go ahead and tell the question.
So they asked Matthew Stafford if I don't know the exact verbiage, but if he's gotten over Lions fans chanting Jared Goff while he's at Ford Field. And Matthew said, I guess I'm over. Yeah, I'm over it, and it's not a big deal. And people were ripping Stafford for being salty. And I don't know what you expect him to say. He doesn't play here anymore.
What did he say? I guess I'm over it.
He said I'm over it, which is fine.
Yeah.
Look,
should he be concerned with it? I mean, what do you want him to say?
Look, Stafford's a good dude. Stafford is a good dude. Stafford has done a lot here. Stafford, look, I understand people.
He's done a lot here. But Jared Goff's our quarterback. They should chant Jared Goff's
name. That's what I'm about to say. I understand people being mad at him because he has to go. He has to leave. It wasn't like they traded him out. He asked to leave. They let him go. So some fans are going to resent that, and that's fine.
What's there to resent for? I mean, they were in a bad spot.
Yeah, but that's like if your woman left you, man, and she's riding around with a new guy.
Look at the draft capital that they got in return. See, they should be thanking Matthew Stafford.
You're being sensible. These are fans we're talking about here. Look, if your woman leave you and you see her next week, she ride around in a Ferrari and they got a guy with a.
But if you also got a Ferrari in the deal too, you'd be okay.
Yeah, but your Ferrari's on order. It hadn't got here yet. Your Ferrari is coming, but it ain't there yet. But you look at her. So you're going to be a little salty about it, but I understand that. And Matthew, he understands it. But they try to egg him into it. But you got to remember, one thing about Matt Stafford, and Mike, you know this too, he's a competitor. He don't like to lose. If you'd ask him that question after a win, you might have got a different answer. He don't like to lose.
I don't think he'd ever answer differently. And I don't think
we
should ever ask
him. He'll definitely answer in a different form.
I don't think we should ask him the question, period.
They shouldn't,
it's a stupid question.
But I'm just saying, what do you expect from him? And if I don't expect anything less from him, and I respect him more because he always talks with his feelings. He may cover stuff up and he may, you know, smooth something over in an answer. But you know, and Mike's talked to him off the record. I talked to him off the record before. He will give you the truth, and that's the way he is. And look, he gave you 12 years. Let the man go do his thing, and you do your thing.
We'll listen to Kelly's podcast for the real truth.
If you choose. Yeah. I like Kelly, too, and I've never listened to the podcast because I just don't want to listen to it because I remember her as she is and was. I don't have to hear that. It's just all this extra stuff. But football-wise, he is the dude, man. And I'm going to tell you right now, that quarterback and I saw Sunday night, the way the Lions defense was on any other quarterback, they'd have five sacks. He still has that talent in that arm.
Yeah, man. With no offensive line and one receiver.
Right, and there were like four or five times where I thought, is he going to get up?
Yeah.
It's just like the wind was coming out of him.
Yeah. Well, let's get into, before we get into the Tampa Bay thing, let's get into defense. We've all said the offense is good and it should get better, which we all agree. Play calling is a question for last game. We'll see how that goes. But defensively, what did you think of the team? And I asked you first, Mike, and then Nick. What did you think of the defensive performance?
I think the one thing, the one element that's missing there is getting to the quarterback. Look, they're putting pressure on him, but they're not getting him to the ground. And that's the one thing that's missing in that defense. And so when I say that, I'm accounting for, in my mind, in my opinion, the improvement of the secondary. I think I think they've accomplished, at least they're on the way to accomplishing what they wanted to in this offseason, and that was to beef up the secondary. And also, I think the pass rush will improve, too, with time.
I mean, they whiffed on how many sacks?
Two or three, at least.
Yeah.
And well, it's hard, you know, when you come swinging around that corner and they just bump you. They're going to bump you right off course.
Yeah, but one time, what's his name, had him right in the grass, Hutchinson, and he missed him.
Yeah.
And then the Davenport on the other side jumped one time when he just walked right through him. Yeah, he's got him. So
I mean, Hutchinson has so many pressures on quarterbacks, and the analytics love him. But and this might not be proper. You need to get him to the ground at a certain point. I mean,
the
pressures are great if it's going to make him throw off balance or miss a target. But quarterbacks like Stafford and maybe Baker Mayfield and Dak Prescott moving forward, they're good at evading and getting out of sacks. And you need to wrap up and bring him down.
But are you being fair? And I'm going to ask you why. Nick Wright, it's your first day, so I got to grill you on that point. Are you guys being fair to Hutchinson? He's a 6'7 guy. A lot of that elusive things where he gets out of the grass, a 6'7 guy is just not going to be able to be that, you know, that flexible and that, you know.
He's flexible.
But for a 6'7 guy. But I'm saying if it was a 6'2 guy and he was making pressures but not getting them down, that's one thing.
I don't care how tall he is. He's the second overall pick. You need to produce in some sacks.
He's given 11 a year right now, and he's on the pace for 17 now. So I'm just saying that maybe we're being too critical of him by not closing a lot of deals. But he's 6'7", man. You got to remember that.
Timeout. He's on a pace for 17 because he got one in the opening game.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mike, for getting that. Thank you.
Did you think you could sneak that by me?
I'm giving you.
Are you serious?
I'm just letting you know he's on pace for 17. Am I lying?
You thought that you were going to sneak that. You're an idiot. Oh, my God.
But do you think size, I mean height, you got to put that in that part of that, too?
Not really, no. Not really. Okay. He's athletic enough. Terrific athletic. He works at it, and I think he's agile enough to do better on the pass rush. I really do. Look, I think he puts a lot of heat on the quarterback, and that's fine, but it's still get him on the ground.
All right. Any other thoughts before I get my thoughts on the defense?
You're up.
All right. I think Davenport, as long as he plays, is going to be the perfect position on that side. big. I see why he gets hurt all the time too, because he thumps with the linemen. He doesn't go around them. So I can see why when he gets hurt, he gets hurt. But as long as he plays, he crushes that in, he collapses that side, and he bull rushes guys back to the quarterback. He is the perfect guy. I see why they went after him. I like that. Onwuzurike.
Yeah.
Got to give him credit, man. Got to give him credit. And I just wonder how they're going to rotate the tackles now that Reeder will be back this week. You know, I hope he gets enough snaps, because that should be a nice little rotation between him, McNeil, and Reeder.
Yeah, I mean, Pecco had 37 snaps. So, I mean, he'll probably stay on the practice squad moving forward.
Yeah.
And then Reeder will get a good chunk of those.
Because they got rid of the guy they brought up and waived him yesterday, the other tackle. What was that, Josh Smith or whatever?
Chris
Smith. They waived him back, which means that Reeder will be getting those snaps, and they'll probably move a receiver up. So that's good. Number three on my defense, Terry Arnold is going to be a dog. And I don't care about the two penalties, because that happens. Mike, you remember back Brian Westbrook, his first year, man, he was a holding machine. You remember that?
Yeah, but I think he finished that season with 17 picks. Not 17, with 7.
Yeah.
You've got me memorized.
You got 17, yeah. 17. But I'm just saying, right now, Terry Arnold's debut was better than Jeff Okuda's. Oh. It was better than Darius Slay's first, you know, appearance. Yes, it was, because Darius Slay got benched.
I don't know about Slay. Yeah.
Slay's first appearance. I remember the game.
Yeah.
This is the best rookie debut of a cornerback in a while. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. He had two pass interferences in the end zone.
I didn't say it was great. I'm saying it was the
pretty
better.
Bad. No, you can
one of those pass
question the call.
One of those pass interferences was shaky.
Kenny, don't you dare go to 1967 with Lombardi.
I'm not going back that far. But I'm just saying, I'm happy with that. Brian Branch, even though he missed tackles and he didn't rate that high on the PFF, because the world must go on PFF, I thought him playing safety, he's a playmaker, man, and I see that getting better every week. So the defense, I'm not worried about. I just think that, and Dan Campbell was on a radio show today, and he said, look, you could have had two high school tackles playing for the Rams. Stafford was getting that ball out in 2 seconds. Nobody's getting to him because they weren't letting it go. But if you notice, Mike, Stafford didn't throw one deep ball. I think he threw 10 balls or less over 10 yards or whatever. Stafford's a deep throwing guy. For him not to get one real deep shot knows that you play good defense.
Well, look, I'm sure he wanted to do it more than
he wanted to do
it,
but he knew the consequences.
Right. No, he's smart. He plays the game.
So defensively, I was happy with it. Forget about the score. Forget about what happened. And they held the Rams, the potent Rams, to 3 points for one half, first half.
I mean,
so you got to give them credit.
And your guy, Anzalone, I mean, he really set the tone on the first drive.
Thank you.
I like him. I think he can be upgraded moving forward. But if he plays like that, I have to admit I'm wrong. I mean, he was incredible.
Well, I don't want to change a thing on defense, player-wise.
I'm not saying this 13, year. I'm just talking about
13 moving. Tackles.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
So, well, that leads us to the next week's game. And, hey, important safety information for you people out there in podcast land. The Lions we playing at 1 o'clock Sunday. Are you familiar with that, Mike?
A.M. or P.M.?
P.M. The Tigers will be playing at 1 o'clock and are in a pennant race.
Ooh.
It's going to be a mess down there unless somebody changes their game. I don't think the NFL will change their game this late. So if the Tigers don't change the starting time of their game, and they're in a race, it's going to be a 30,000 people, you know, Comerica Park. So it's going to be a mess down there Sunday, but it'll be a fun mess. So all you guys going, get there accordingly.
That'd be fun.
It looks like a ball to me. Well, let's go back to, what was it, the 2011 season when the Lions were playing
Chicago, was it?
Yeah, it was Chicago.
And the Tigers were playing at Comerica?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that the playoff game they were playing to Baltimore?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think so.
Okay, it was another game they were playing Baltimore. They've had a couple of times where they've had games going at the same time.
But what a scene that was in downtown Detroit.
Yeah. It's going to be a scene.
We can have another one. Yep.
It's been a while since we've had a 1 o'clock game.
Exactly, and I think this is only one of a few in the next, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. So, but the opponent is Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield coming off a 4-touchdown game, a bet against the Washington Generals or whatever they call them. So, what are they called now? The Commanders still.
Commanders.
They call them, the Generals. They're really the Globetrotters' opponent. That's what I call them. This is part two of the playoff redemption tour for the Lions. They played the second team they played in the playoffs now. What do you see the outcome being?
Oh, I like the Lions. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, they're going to have to work for it, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like the Lions. They didn't come anywhere near playing their best game against the Rams, and still were managed to you know, do what they did at the end to win it. But I like the Lions. I like the Lions a lot in this game.
And you, Mr. Roddy?
I like the Lions, but you were talking about Tyrion Arnold. I'm interested to see how he and the secondary hold up against the Buccaneers. I mean, Baker Mayfield, 24 for 30, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. And Mike Evans didn't even have – he had 2 touchdowns, but really only 5 catches for 61 yards. They're going to be tough to cover for our secondary. So if he's going to be the best-rated debut Lions corner in how many years, I think that's got to continue to week two.
Well, the best part about the Tyrion Arnold situation, too, is he's not – he hasn't been brought in this year to be your number one corner. So he'll always be the second corner, because as long as Carlton Davis is playing, who was the number one for this year. So he's going to learn by fire, but not against the elite guys all the time. So even though he was checking, you know, Cooper Kupp the other day, he'll get his time. But I'm sorry. Baker Mayfield's got to show me that he's a changed guy. I still say Baker will revert to Baker, and I'm not counting the first game against Washington. So they're starting safeties out. Khalil Kansey's probably out for this game. So they got a couple of injuries too, and they're coming into Ford Field. And you gotta bring it in Ford Field now, because those crowds are massive and rowdy. So it's gonna be a battle for them again.
No, I think I don't want to spoil anybody's party or anything like that, but I think sometimes that noise is overrated. I really do. I think teams are adjusting to it, however they're doing it. I don't think it's quite as disrupting as it was a couple years ago.
Well, it still gets your signal counts off, and it gets you. If you get a 1 penalty a game by it, then you've done something. And just I think people feed off positive energy anyway, and I just think home teams historically get a bump because of that, because you just feel more secure in your own crowd, and you got your crowd yelling, and I just think it makes you feel better. I just, you know, forget about the sound and whatever. I just think it makes you feel better. And plus, Ford Field to me is so intimate. It's not like the Silverdome, that big cavernous thing where you look up the corner of the end zones, there were not people there because it was, 80,000 seats, and you wouldn't get people up in the corners and whatever. This is like, you're right. They're right on top of you in Ford Field.
The Lions have had 1 1:00 game since week 11. Of last year, and it was week 18 against the Vikings.
There you go.
Out the regular season.
There you go.
So, it's been a while.
The price of winning. The price of winning. All right, gentlemen. Well, that's going to be our new podcast for the day. We did a long time today, Mike. What do you think? Should we bring Roddy back from now? Is he in the group now?
It took me a half an hour to straighten you out.
You're still trying to figure out how to count 1/17 of the 17, but you know, I'll let you do your little math after we're off the air. So we'll let you do that. But I'm happy about this season. I'm excited. Nick, I'm excited for you to be here. We're going to talk Lions. We're going to have some guests every now and then. We'll bring in guys, and we'll just talk about the Lions. I think this is going to be a season, because from what I saw after week one, which I know is early, you shouldn't be talking about it, they're in the upper echelon of teams, man. I don't see 4 teams better than them right now. So they're in the top 5 to me, and closer to the 1 than 5. And that's all I'm going to say.
No, I'd agree with you.
Jared Goff, though, I want to see an improvement out of him. I want to see a little improvement. I gave him a passing grade for Sunday, but Mike, I don't know, Mike. I just want to see better.
Hey, Kirby Joseph's on a pace for 17 interceptions.
Right, 17 interceptions. That's right. There you go. All right. Well, that's the Cannon Podcast for this week. Nick Roddy, Michael Hare, Kim Brown. Join us again next week.